Blog Talk Radio.
Baby.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. The air date of this episode is September the 12th, 2023, here at Chewbacca's Black Experience Enhanced. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, our topic is the crazy political times in 2023. On this evening's Chewbacca's Black Experience Enhanced, we will be having an open mic discussion on former U.S. President the Dump, as in human shit, a.k.a. Donald Trump, inmate number P01135809, criminal charges in Fulton County Jail in Atlanta, Georgia. Following up, approval rating below 40% Biden possible impeachment, although I can't see of how that would work. And then, of course, the Florida governor and the Republican presidential candidate, Ron the Panties, and his war on woke equals black people and consciousness. Dr. Cornel West under attack from the Democrats. Will he run as a Democrat? Why do black people continue to vote for the Democratic Party and we get nothing tangible for our vote, just symbolic gestures? Well, that 50-plus-year-old voting trend end in 2024. Please call in with your questions, comments, and concerns. The call-in number is 516-418-5996. If you are a cell phone carrier, is T-Mobile, Metro by T-Mobile, or Metro PCS, please make sure to add 516-418-5996 to your share plan so you will not be charged for the call. This is Season 7, Episode 380 of Chewbacca's Black Experience Enhanced. Okay, so we're going to unmute our microphone here. I'm coming to you from Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada, tonight. And we're going to bring in our co-host and co-executive producer, the one and only Brother Chad Krumah, otherwise known as Jesse Parrish, you know, who recently ran for mayor of Denver, Colorado, to bring some proper change there. Now, also too, you know, our hate mail, you know, we love it. You know, please direct all your insults, derogatory comments to our chat room. Okay. Hey, hey. And
hey,
we tried to. Yes, sir.
Doing an impromptu in conjunction with Frontline Black News on StreamYard. So, they're listening on StreamYard right now, and I'm sharing the screen to the studio on StreamYard.
Thank you so very, very much. Yes, sir. Okay, so we're on StreamYard tonight as well, too. And if this episode is a success with such, we will continue having it going on with StreamYard. Now, the Dump, to me, is perhaps one of the most educated, most ignorant SOBs that I have ever saw. Okay, this fool is guilty. He knows it. The presidential administration, the current one, knows it. The U.S. Congress knows it. But you got all these power plays going on. And then also, too, the Dump is also trying to get the case moved up out of Atlanta, Georgia. I wonder why. And then I see that we have an unknown caller right here. I have a feeling I think I might know who that is. All he has to do is press one. And
press the Twitter.
Okay, you say who else would it be, huh?
Yeah, it has to be Mr. 12. It's Mr. 12 or Nas, but I think it's, I really get a feeling it's Mr. 12.
Oh, okay. All righty. Okay. He's more than welcome to join us. You know what I mean? And then pulling up some news right here that has just came across my desk. Okay. Y'all going to love this. Okay. I'm not going to say who the name of who, what company wrote this article or put it is, because I'm sure as hell we are not advertising, you know, for this garbage that comes in with this spam, you know, from them bastards over at Google. Okay. NFL lawsuit bombshell. If the black players don't like it here, they should go back to Africa to see how bad it is. Okay. According to suit brought by Jim Trotter, Jerry Jones, and Terry Pegula, made racist comments about multiple issues. This morning, Pro Football Talk tweeted out the first look NFL fans have gotten at longtime NFL reporter Jim Trotter's discrimination suit against the NFL. Trotter's suit, filed in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York, names the NFL and NFL Network, Trotter's former employer, as defendant. The complaint filed on Trotter's behalf spans a full 53 pages, but PFT tweeted out a few of the allegations contained therein, including allegations of statements that confirm that racial equality is still a big problem in the National Football League. Okay. Now, it also states in this garbage, remember all those end racism block letters in the end zones? Take a look at what Trotter alleges Jerry Jones and Terry Pegula have said in his presence. Trotter's lawsuit alleges in part. Okay, I'm continuing reading this garbage. Okay, as one such example, Terry Pegula, owner of the Bills, stated interference to players' protests against racial injustice that if the black players don't like it here, they should go back to Africa and see how bad it is. Okay, now I got a comment on this. Okay.
Okay.
So, therefore, this reemphasizes more self-hatred and what have you, because, don't get me wrong, Brother Che, you and I, you know, we like football, you know, everybody likes, you know, the human drama of athletic competition. And I was very, very happy to see the Las Vegas Raiders beat the Pony Express.
Please, your pocket. That the refs gave you that game. And the fix was in.
Okay, so blame it on a referee. Okay, just like that great game called baseball. Everybody wants to kill the umpire. All right. Moving right along here. Mr. Trotter says he raised complaints and concerns about this remark, but no action was taken. Hey, black folks, I know some action that could be taken. You know what I'm saying? To really hit this bastard where it hurts, right in the pocketbook. Guess what? Don't buy the tickets to go to the game. You see what I mean? And then boycott all the sponsors that sponsors the particular games, you see? Now, we too stupid and too damn dumb to realize that fact of macroeconomics. You see, we'll do that. Now, number six, as in another example, Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowgirls, responded to a question posed by Mr. Trotter regarding the dearth of black professionals in decision-making positions for NFL teams by stating, if blacks feel some kind of way, they should buy their own team and hire who they want to hire. Hey, guess what? We've been saying that for the last 5.5 years. It's incredible of how this fool realized that and reinforces our position on that. We've been saying that for years.
Right. Remember what that coach said, though, a white coach said back in the 80s? He said, we can't have black people coaching the teams bad enough that the squads are all black.
Right. Right. And then also, too, and then I remember one owner of the NFL was saying is that you can't have the slaves running the plantation. You see what I mean? And then, too, is...
That was Jerry Jones, the Cowgirls.
Oh, okay, okay. So Jerry Jones was up there wearing his dress when he said that, right? And he had on his rainbow colors and stuff like that. Okay. Okay, okay. Okay. And then, and like as we stated before, Brother Parrish, you know, for the last few years that I'm well aware of, that if blacks feel some kind of way, they should buy their own team and hire who they want to hire. That's great news. Now, let's look at something here, people. With the talent level that we have in professional sports as a whole, and then, of course, as you know, as our talent level goes through the collegiate apparatus as well, too, to bring the players into the National Football League, I am quite sure, in fact, I'm willing to bet dollars to donuts, okay, that if we did that, that would be a very, very great move that we could do and what we will do, okay? This is just a suggestion, okay, is that hire all-black coaching staff, hire an all-black executive management staff, okay? Yeah. Most definitely going to the inner cities, you know, give some comp tickets to our young men and women. You see what I'm saying? And most definitely, you know, have such organizations come out there as New Era Detroit, New Era Chicago. You see, to present what they're doing for the community. And this black family will cause the economical power shift quicker than Muhammad Ali's sting like a bee combination. And then do the same thing in the National Basketball Association. Do the same thing in Major League Baseball. Hell, do the same thing in tennis and golf. You know what I'm saying? And I'm willing to bet, like I said, dollars to donuts, is that it will work. Yes, sir. It will work. Okay, let me go ahead and read some more of this. Okay. All righty, then this is on Stinky Bird, okay, from the Jim try to complain against the NFL. Note that quotes attributed to Jerry Jones and Terry Pegula. Okay, now let me see if I can pull this garbage up right here. Okay, and what we're looking at here is a post here. It has already been acknowledged by many in the media that the NFL retaliated against and took vengeance on Mr. Trotter for him taking the NFL to task on its discriminatory practice. The NFL's treatment of Mr. Trotter is consistent with a documented history of silencing, retaliating against, and blackballing black men who speak out about such conduct. This is the NFL's modus operandi and part of the fabric of the league. Trotter's experience with discrimination and retaliation was not limited to his termination. Throughout his employment, Trotter witnessed and observed discriminatory and or hostile conduct by his employers, including by NFL team owners. They went entirely unchecked as a matter of standard operating procedure. As one such example, Terry Pegula, owner of the Bills, stated reference to players' protests against racial injustices that if black players don't like it here, they should go back to Africa and see how bad it is. Okay, first place, let me tell your stinking ass, cave-dwelling ass a few facts, okay? Go back to Africa. Okay, well, why don't you call Kazoids to stay out of Africa? It's because, after all, we did show you how to wash your funky, nasty ass, number one. We also gave you dumb bastards the concept of mathematics, geometry, engineering, medical science, and what have you. Yeah, so maybe we should go back to Africa upgrade it, bring up the quality of life there. And definitely do what Niger is doing. Get rid of them stinking French. They don't believe in wiping their ass when they go to the bathroom. As another example, Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, responded to a question posed by Mr. Trotter regarding the dearth of black professionals in decision-making positions for NFL teams, stating if blacks feel some kind of way, they should buy their own team and hire who they want to hire. Instead of buying a team, buy up five or six of them. In fact, buy out the whole damn NFL. the amount of money black family that we raise around worldwide, that makes all the sense in the world right there, you see. And then, I'm not going to say this person's name who did a tweet. None of this is surprising. Rich white owners and Republicans solely for tax breaks, and they look down on any segment of society that isn't rich or white. How about that isn't white or rich? So I'm going to just put up there a like on that one right here. And then the sad part about it is, ladies and gentlemen, is that how long do we have to keep getting knocked upside the head? How long do we as a people on a collective basis have to keep constantly being stomped on? You know what I'm saying? And what have you, before we realize that we are all we got. It's up to us. You know what I'm saying? And then let's see if we got any callers here, okay? That might be Sarge, okay? Let's see if we got any hate mail in our chat room yet. Well, it says that we are now disconnected from the chat room. Why am I not surprised? Okay, this is, and all this here, folks, you know, is just what we suspect. And then, you know, we pay our money for this.
Okay, that's the moment.
That's the what?
That's because I'm in the chat room.
Oh, okay, okay. We got any comments in the chat room?
No, it's empty.
Oh, okay, all righty, okay. So our chat room is open there, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so moving on to the business, you know what I'm saying, that we have here right now, okay, is that the dump, okay, is that they are trying to work with him, not work with him, but trying to, you know, see if they can get something in there. And then let me pull up here a newspaper article right here, and let me see. Boy, they got so much crap up here. It's possible. Okay. Oh, here's one. All right. Senators react to McCarthy endorsing a Biden impeachment inquiry. But my question is, what grounds do they got to impeach him for? Not saying that Biden is for black folks or what have you, but, you know, his son is on dope, okay? That's his own personal business, you know what I'm saying? Also, to Biden, what is he, 82, 83 right now? Okay. And then also, too, we're going to feel free to crumb bum on this sack of shit by the name of Rami Salami or ramen noodles, as we call him, and then to find out that he accepted a scholarship from George Soros, okay? So, you know, that's not surprising, okay? And then let's see. And then they're talking about the senators are reacting to Biden impeachment beginning. And let's see, and McCarthy is endorsing a Biden impeachment inquiry. Now, the sad part, if I got my civics kid together, Brother Parrish, please correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, so if Biden is impeached successfully, which I doubt, okay, that will be succeeded, then they were swearing Kamala as the president, right?
Correct.
Okay, and then will this clown McCarthy become the vice president?
It would either be him, Hakeem Jeffries, or Nancy Pelosi.
Okay, well, Hakeem Jeffries, he's a joke. Nancy Pelosi, she needs to retire. Okay. All right, so, yeah, so I'm willing to bet dollars to donuts it will be this flea right here, McCarthy, to be the vice president. And then, let's see here. Okay, so then if he is the vice president, then guess what, folks, that he'll probably do as a backup bid to keep the dump policies going on. He would run for president.
Yep.
Yeah, that there is just my, you know, miseducated guess or what have you. Okay.
Like Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, oh, yeah, well, Mitch McConnell is freezing up, you know what I'm saying? And later for Mitch McConnell, hopefully he's defecating and urinating on himself. You know, go give that fool some diapers. You know what I mean? Okay. And then let's see what else is going on here.
It all
okay, now we got, yeah, and we got all this garbage up here, you know, we're on MSN. Okay, now let me blot out more advertisement. Report the ad. Not interesting. Ad design issue. Okay, I hit repetitive. I noticed they don't put spam up there no more. You know, that's quite interesting. Okay, yeah, so yeah, that there's a story that developed. Okay, and then they're saying is there's compelling evidence Biden used his influence for his family's enrichment. Well, I'm not mad at him if he did. Okay. All righty. And then they were saying is that Kaylee McEnany slams Biden for breaking traditional 911. Okay. And then Republicans blows it during the interview as the entire career ends in an instant. Okay. Hopefully they're talking about Rami Salami. Okay. And then let me see here. And then they got some more of this AI garbage up there. Okay. And then all this. Okay, so they're saying that Biden is facing a formal impeachment inquiry. Okay, and then the dump, as in human shit, stumbles over his words during a Texas rally. Okay, and then guess what? Guess what the sisters are doing again, ladies and gentlemen, down in the South. Hurricane Lee is on its way.
Right.
Okay. To the East Coast, Shabaka. That's going to hit D.C. Oh, it's not going to hit Florida?
No, Nigel might, though.
Oh, okay. All righty. Okay. Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm looking at the map now. Yeah, they did say it's going to loop out there off the eastern coast and it's going to head up north. Oh, okay. All right, they say it's currently in beast mode, you know what I'm saying? And it says that the Hurricane Lee's trajectory is going out. Okay. And then once again, you know, here's some damn advertisement from Amazon, and they can kiss our ass. Okay. And then let me see here. Okay, hurricane hunters investigate Lee's dangerous storm tracks close to the U.S. Okay, was I giving feedback right there? Okay, Brother Che? Okay. All righty. Okay, we'll see he's still here. Hopefully he can get back off in the studio. Okay. Pull up some of this junk right here on this laptop. Okay. And then, see, you know, we got an unknown caller here as well, too. But, however, you know, with Donald Duck Trump, you know, trying to, you know, get the Republican nomination. And then Rami Salami, you know, who does not know what he is talking about in regard to the affairs of black people, he should be investigated as well. And then, of course, we're putting it out there is that where Rami Salami is from, which is India, you know, that they have a caste system over there and what have you. And then also, too, our co-host, Brother Che, his call is dropped. So definitely please call back in. And I see we got an unknown caller right here. Okay, we're going to, you know, unmute them as well, too. Hello, unknown caller. Thank you for calling into Shabaka's Black Expansive Hands. Do you have any comments currently for tonight's show? Okay, unknown caller. Okay, here we having technical difficulties here, folks. You know, please bear with us. Okay. Here.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got disconnected. I don't know how that happened, but I'm back.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what it is, man. They don't like the truth of what's being told here. So, of course, they throw monkey wrenches in our woods. They don't like our introductory songs, you know, from Mama Africa. You know, the African sunset. They don't dig I'm a Pondo. And they damn sure don't dig, you know, Ship Ahoy. Okay. Also, too, Brother Che, you got some feedback on your end.
Okay. How about now?
Oh, yeah, you sound perfect now. Okay. All righty. Well, anyway, the unknown caller, you know, his mic is unmuted. And if he feels free or if he or she feels free to comment, they're more than welcome to do so. Okay. Now, also, too, black family, the NFL already says that if they don't dig the way black players are being treated, then they should form their own team. I say, great. Form their own 28 team. In fact, form a whole new league altogether. And with the talent level that we have been exhibiting for at least 50 years that I know of, I think it will be a surefire bet. I just wish I had me about $2 billion to kick it off. You see what I mean? And then haul the NFL, you know, into court, you know, haul them in federal court, you know, for discrimination and inflammatory statements against black people. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they don't prosecute those cases, yeah. But as soon as we say doing for ourselves, you know what I mean? And when we reject, you know.
Well, remember Sasha
yes.
Gaines or Hoover said the greatest threat to America was the Organization of Negroes, right?
That's a fact. He did make that statement. Yes, sir, he did. Okay. All righty. Okay, so that there is still in effect and what have you, you know. And then, of course, as you know, they shadow banned us, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we're asking our followers and our well wishers, you know, please share the episode. Please call in, you know, when you can and whatnot, and definitely we appreciate our East Coast correspondent, Brother Isaiah, when he calls in. So hopefully he will call in tonight. And I'm surprised Sarge isn't with us tonight.
Yeah,
you
I'm surprised he's not either. I thought it was the 111 number. 111,
right.
Where are you? And where are you calling from?
And your mic is open. Okay, so I guess this individual, you know, doesn't want to be bothered.
Well, we're
going to
come back on mute. If you want to speak, caller, press 1.
Yeah. In fact, why don't we do this? Why don't we just kick him out and hang up on his ass? How about that? And he can call
yeah,
back. You know, yeah. You know, so we could do that. Yeah. So, you know, since he doesn't want to comment, probably a troll and what have
yeah,
you. Yeah, you know what
I
mean?
Go get some trolls.
Yeah. And, you know, we appreciate the call in, but if you're not going to, you know, participate, you know what I'm saying? What's the sense in calling in? You can send us some hate mail to the chat room, you know what I'm saying? You know, we appreciate all comments, all insults, you know what I mean? It's because when we get insulted like this here, white America, you are stating of how you honestly feel. And we really appreciate that there, too. The utmost, because the day of the ass scratcher, the day of the Yassa boss is over. Okay, we don't care about Master Charlie. Okay,
mm-hmm.
See, the days of this shit that boss we sick is over. Okay,
over.
Now for those of you, you know, who get on that coon bus, you know what I'm saying, and what have you, you know, our problem is obvious. Okay.
Yeah,
and
cool.
So,
yes, just like that meme
exactly.
I circulated the other day. Our problem, our problem is coons, raccoons, Negro coons, black people on black skin with white minds. That's our problem.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And we've come a long way, and we got a long way to go. Now, let's see if we could pull up, you know, some stuff here on the panties. Okay, let's see. The panties. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, wait. THEPANTI. Wait a minute. Okay. Yeah.
Shout out to the two viewers on StreamYard. Please feel free to call in. Tell them that number again. She knows I got to call them, but.
Yes, sir. The phone number to call in is 516-418-5996. And we welcome all insults and what have you. And also, if you want to rant and rave and talk about how much you hate black people, you
streaming on StreamYard is streaming on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, the group page, Frontline Black News,
yes.
The Facebook page, and Frontline Black News on YouTube.
Okay, all righty. Thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And, yeah, and then, of course, those, you know, who are out there listening to us, please feel free to call in. Okay. All righty. This trick's name is Ronald Dion the Panties. He's an American politician serving since 2019 as the 46th governor of Florida. He's a member of the Republican Party. He represented Florida's 6th congressional district in the U.S. House of Representatives for 5 years. And the Panties is a candidate in the 2024 United States presidential election. Okay. He was born in Jacksonville, Florida. The Panties spent most of his childhood in Dunedin, if I'm saying it correctly, Florida. This asshole graduated from Yale University, and this trick also attended Harvard Law School. Okay, the Panties, okay, and I'm saying that he is a transvestite and that he wears women's underwear. He joined the United States Navy in 2004 and was promoted to lieutenant before serving as a legal advisor to SEAL Team 1, stationed at Joint Task Air Force in Guantanamo in 2006 and was deployed to Iraq in 2007. When he returned to the U.S. about 8 months later, the U.S. Attorney General appointed the Panties to serve as a Special Assistant U.S. Attorney at the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Middle District of Florida, a position he held until his honorable discharge from active military duty in 2010. DeSantis was first elected to Congress in 2012 and was reselected in 2014 and 2016. During his tenure, he became a founding member of the Freedom Caucus and was an ally of the dump, as in human shit, and we want to make that perfectly clear. He briefly ran for U.S. Senate in 2016, but withdrew when incumbent Senator Marco Rubio sought re-election. The Panties won the Republican nomination for the 2018 gubernatorial election and narrowly defeated the Democratic nominee Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gilliam in the general election by 0.4%. And the Panties was the governor during the COVID pandemic, as well as Hurricane Ian and Hurricane Nicole. He oversaw the passage of the controversial Parental Rights and Education Act. In the 2022 gubernatorial election, he was reselected by 19.4 percentage points over Charlie Crist, state's largest margin of victory for governor's election in 40 years. Okay, so therefore, we're not going to read the rest of the history of this trick, you know what I'm saying? And the sad part about it is I have to address those in the congressional black caucus. Every last one of you Sambos need to turn in your resignation is because you're not doing nothing for black people. Okay, we need something specifically for us, particularly in this day and age. Now, if the Hispanics had ran to Congress and they served their own self-interest, no one would be upset about that. If Asians had the majority in the Congress, and serve their own self-interest, nobody would be upset about that. And then, of course, as we know, that your Europeans who came here serving in your own self-interest, nobody would have a problem with that. But see, but the problem is that everybody pays taxes. Okay. And mainly our people, we pay a lot of taxes. You know what I'm saying? We also put up a lot of money to bail bondsmen, you know, when our people are generally falsely accused of cases. You see what I mean? Our people are mainly experimented on when it comes to the medical profession, you know, which has been proven time and time again. The same thing with the sister who had the cells in regard to the ovarian cancer research. And correct me if I'm wrong on that there, Brother Paris. And then also, too, it's kind of like that what's happening is with this fervor of the dump coming to power when he did, is that it's open season on black people. You see what I mean? And it's open season on us educationally. It's open season on us economically. It's open season on us physically. See what I'm saying? George Floyd cases and what have you. Then, of course, the abuse, of our men and women in the criminal justice system. Also, too, the abuse when we go out here and try to participate in the democratic process of voting. You know, a few of the election workers down there in Florida who were black women were getting death threats and things of this nature right there. Okay, so when are we black folks going to wake up and realize the fact that we are all we got? You see what I'm saying? And then I'm checking out an editorial article right here, Brother Che. This is the prosecutor, Worrell, blasts back at DeSantis' suspension and scores. Okay, time and again, the panties has gotten away with actions that few other governors would even consider. Among them, vendettas against other elected officials that he pursues with the lethal enmity of a mafia don. This is what they're saying in Yahoo News. When he set his sights on the 9th Judicial Circuit Court attorney, Monique Worrell, he had already ejected one duly elected prosecutor, Hillsborough County State Attorney Andrew Warren, from office. It was a move that a federal judge decried as blatantly illegal, but said he was powerless to stop. Okay, so that's his silent endorsement of it. Okay, editorial. DePanty stages another execution of a duly elected Democrat. This one hits home. The Panties' lengthy justification of Worrell's suspension was tailored to address many of the issues U.S. District Judge Robert Henkel listed in that fiery, despairing order and even the challenge Warren filed at the Florida Supreme Court level. But now Worrell has fired back with the lawsuit that exposes the many factual inconsistencies in the governor's suspension order. She takes devastating aim at the central assumptions of DeSantis, uses a buttress, wobbly argument. As she elbows aside the weak reasoning the Florida Supreme Court used as it shuffled Warren's complaint aside, when the panties first suspended Warren, yes, sir.
I had to direct connect into the show because it kicked me out again. It's the only one host per show. And I think that SARS, they got their hand up.
Oh, okay. All righty. Okay. So wait a minute. I got to hit continue. Okay. All righty. Okay. Unknown caller. You're on the air on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced tonight. Okay. What's your name and where you calling from?
Well, my name is Sarge, and I have the honor to be your faithful servant.
Yeah, I know it, goddammit.
Sarge, I wish I could have dropped $50 on a crap table out here in Las Vegas betting that was you. You know what I'm saying?
Nah.
Yeah,
what
you could have used that
party. What you got to, first of all, what do you got to say about your boy, the dump as in human shit?
Oh man, I got a beautiful. I like, I know y'all love to narrate about how hard it is and what a threat democracy is and all the other jazz. But me, I go to the evidence and the facts. And that's what I do. And I just got to read the grand jury special report. They released that grand jury report. There they released it.
Okay.
The judge down there decided, because normally they keep grand jury proceedings secret. So the judge decided to release it. And boy, I'm going to tell you right now, remember, I read it. So I know what I'm talking about because I read the thing. And when I'm trying to explain to you.
You're an educated man. Okay, Sarge.
What I'm trying to explain to you is that grand jury was unhinged. Do you realize that according to one of the witnesses there, and I imputed it from reading the grand jury report, her name is Cleta Mitchell. She's one of the defendants charged. That creep Bonnie Willis, and she was questioned by this woman they call the Diggly Wiccan. Her name is Coors.
Okay.
I think it's Emily Coors. She was the grand jury foreman. She's a real goofball. I don't even saw her being interviewed on all these TV shows. But she looked like she was high on marijuana, some of the most the highest THC content weed imaginable. She looked like a real goof. Anyway, Cleta Mitchell. Had some documents in her hand during the grand jury proceeding, which she was referring to, which she was being interrogated by the grand jury. And this grand jury forewoman asked if she could see them. So she showed them to her. And she looked them over and read them over. And she came back and said, well, according to this, you're saying that the electors from Georgia should have been turned over to Donald Trump. They should have just been given to Donald Trump. And the document said no such thing. It literally did not say that. It would appear the only thing this group heard, the district attorney saying that Donald Trump's a threat to democracy, and she didn't get nothing else because she sure didn't get it from the document.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why, because it literally did not say that.
Sorry, hold your thought. Lady Che is joining us. She's on the StreamYard. Greetings, Lady Che.
Greetings. Grand evening. That call in over there is over here. What I do?
Whichever one you want to do. They can hear you on either or.
We hear here on the air over here, you know. And we got the one and only Sarge with us. You know, Sarge.
Yeah,
Sarge is Sarge. And we appreciate Sarge, you know, with his input and calling in and what have you. Now, Sarge, we know you love Trump, which is your business, which is your right, you know, to go out here and vote because a lot of our people got knocked upside the head, had fire hoses turned on us, had police dogs sicked on us and what have you. You see what I mean? So we don't have to, you know, rehash that. And also, Sarge, you are well aware of the fact that I believe it was in Daytona, Florida, I think. 1961, when black children were allowed to swim in a swimming pool, and the owner of the hotel or the director of the facility where the swimming was taking place, where he had literally went up there and poured acid into the swimming pool of black children. Brother Che, you could pull that up. Then also too, Sarge, as you know, in the great state of Florida, when everybody was loving alligator shoes, alligator belts, and what have you, is that they would take black infants and use them as bait to lure out the alligators. Now, the transvestite, I'm saying he wears women's underwear, does not address this issue. And then he comes up with this critical race theory. He's anti-woke, but Sarge, as you know, policing the great cities of Chicago and what have you, just as long as we are killing each other, you know what I'm saying, the white media loves this. But as soon, Sarge, as platforms like Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, which is a division of Frontline Black News, comes out
and addresses these issues, Sarge, we're hit with a bunch of hate mail. We're hit with insults and things of that nature right there. So what is your take on that, Sarge?
So, look, Shabaka, now you know with my love of history, the good and the bad of it, as long as you are accurately recounting history, I have no objection to even detailing the atrocities that have been committed in the history of the United States. Now, you know, I'd never object to that as long as you're accurate. I've never had a problem with it. I never will. All I'm saying is I notice that you have to go back 5 and 6 decades to recount them because they're not happening anymore.
Okay,
see, and this
Sarge.
Is what this was fascinating about this.
Hold on.
Okay, but Sarge, you see,
hold on, Shabaka. I think the
whole, Lady Che. Yeah. Okay. All right, Lady Che.
Oh, he had sent one of his trolls earlier. He ain't made his presence known yet.
Who is this?
Joe Gibson.
Oh, okay. Well, Joe, he's welcome to call in.
The Tether Anchor Baby that loves to argue with us and tell us how we're not going to get our reparations.
Okay. All righty. Okay. Now,
I think Governor Newsom will tell you that. You don't need us to tell you that. Governor Newsom is telling you that by staying away from the issue as he plans to run for president. He's letting you know by not saying it.
Sarge, Gavin Newsom is Nancy Pelosi's nephew. Anything that you got to crumb bum on that sack of shit, man, you will not get no argument from me. I live in California for the majority of my life. Newsom belongs in jail. He's going to sign a damn bill in California that allows a child predator to not be guilty of any crime having sex with a child as long as this child is not under the age of 11. Yeah, so he's quite gruesome. And that's why we call him Gruesome Newsom, man. That is sickening. Okay, now, here's some news for you, Sarge. You're in the Great Lake regions, okay. Blacks made up one-fifth of the American. All righty. Well, here, I'm looking at here, my source of information is Lerone Bennett, Ebony, Pictorial History of Black America, The African Past to the Civil War, Volume 1. And what is stating right here is that Mr. Bennett stated that blacks made up one-fifth of the American crews and some of the Great Lakes battles in the War of 1812. The Negro Convention movement was an outgrowth of blacks' desire to establish a basis for united and effective action to alleviate racial trouble. The movement.
Plus one, if you want to be live on the air, caller 262-5131.
No, okay, just press one. We'd be happy to have you, 262. Okay, and then also, too, now I'm going to peel my board some spam and some garbage, you know what I'm saying? I think I know who that is, okay? All right, 262, yeah, please give us, just press one. Okay, but anyway, though, Sarge, is that all the wars that we participated in, including yourself, you see what I'm saying?
Hold on,
and what have you.
262, what's your name and where you calling from?
My name is Kevin Barnes. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yes.
Outlaws. Greeting, Outlaws. How you guys doing, man? Greetings, Outlaws. Kevin Barnes, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, he runs the Outlaw Radio. Definitely check him out. And I believe he comes on Mondays and Wednesdays. He's got Sister Courtney there. He's also got the witch doctor there. He got Brother Kamar and what have you. Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, so therefore, Mr. Barnes, we got the one and only Sarge up here, Mr. Barnes, and you're an educated man too, sir. Plus, you have youth on your side, which is leaving me every day. And you got the one and only Sarge up there, and I was just pulling up some information here, Mr. Barnes, out of Lerone Bennett's work. Okay, Mr. Barnes, what's on your mind, man?
Actually, I just wanted to just show y'all some love and thank you all for all the support y'all show us with Outlaw Radio. It adds to the validity of our platform when brothers that are not even from here and we can connect,
right.
You know, and even if, yeah. if we don't all, we don't always all speak the same language,
yeah.
but we all
right.
desire the same destination. And so
y'all
really contribute. Y'all really contribute to what I do. So I have to stop
Thank
by
you.
And show love. I'm solo. I'm chilling, you know, but I just want to show love. Actually, I didn't even want to speak. I wanted to listen and be like, well, let me catch
the
vibe.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, man. So, man, y'all keep doing what y'all doing, man. You know,
yes, sir.
Yes,
sir. I'm a servant. I'm a servant leader. I'm a servant leader.
Yes, sir.
So you know, I just as well as I can speak, I can listen as well.
Right. Yes, sir. All right. Okay.
Here, man. Power to the people,
okay.
man.
Yes, sir.
Oh, always. Okay.
Well,
now, here's some Sarge.
Joy, have you over your stay for a while?
Okay, but Sarge. Okay, Lady J. Okay. But we got Sarge right here, and I want to bring this here to Sarge's attention. Now, Sarge. Okay, now, Sarge.
Mr. Barnes is never over here. As if Sarge is always over here. Mr. Barnes is never
oh, yeah.
over here.
Okay. All right. Now, Sarge, you're familiar with Johnson Publications. I know you are, right?
Oh, eminently.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Okay, now what I'm looking at here, Sarge, is this famous picture posted by Mr. Bennett, you know, in his books of the slave who was beaten so bad, man, that his back, man, you know, looked like a mountain range out here in the desert, you know, from so many wells. Now, what about that, Sarge? Now, see, the thing we really respect and admire about you, Sarge, is that you could deal with this heat. You hold your own ground. You know, it's not an easy task debating with you, Sarge. You know what I'm saying? But your boy Joe Gibson, he hangs up on us, man, and then he wants to spread lies like black people sold themselves into slavery and what have you. And I've stated this here with the outlaws, and Mr. Barnes agreed with me on that. And that there, Mr. Barnes, is where we had discussed on your platform where they were saying that blacks had sold themselves into slavery. And then, of course, initially we know that there had happened. But however, with the Santees, the dump, as in human shit, and I want to make that perfectly clear, okay, failed to recognize the fact that those who did the selling were captured also, too, because the European, particularly the Portuguese, came down there with lies and deceit. Then not to mention the fact of how the slaves who were captured in the interior parts of Africa were forced march to the point of no return there off the coast of Ghana. You see what I'm saying? And I forgot the name of the castle right there, but they had a name of it, but it was the point of no return. Now, also too, Sarge, and also too, Mr. Barnes. Now, let's look at another pattern that happened in the United States as well, too, by an executive order by a dude who was a raping, slave trading pedophile by the name of Thomas Jefferson when he had signed into law, and I don't know if it was under executive order or not, or if the Congress approved it, but I'll ask Sarge, you know, because Sarge, you know, I give Sarge, you know, he knows the civics, okay? It was called the Indian Removal Act of 1820, where they were taking all the indigenous people, man, out of places like Kentucky, Tennessee, I believe parts
Florida.
Of Illinois, Mississippi,
Florida.
Okay, the Carolinas, and they forced marched them, Sarge. They force marched them, Sarge, all the way from that point out here into the West, man, into Colorado, into Nevada, into Arizona, into New Mexico, okay? And then what they did is that when California became a state, when everybody was bum-rushing that gold, and then keep in mind, San Francisco was a huge toilet for all the scum of the earth, you know, people with the gold fever. They even went up there, and they had exterminated, too, Sarge, the Modoc Indian Nation, or the Modoc Indigenous Nation as well, too. They killed the last one off in 1910, and his name was Ishi. And as a matter of fact, they made a movie called Ishi about that travesty. Okay, now, Sarge, now how can we, okay, as a people, okay, how can we forgive these atrocities? And now, The thing is that when white folk feel threatened, they go scream and holler about their Second Amendment, you know, call to arms, you know what I'm saying, the Ku Klux Klan and what have you, and, you know, and the good old boys down there, man, from the South, you know what I mean? Oh, man, we're white, we're right, we're mighty and all that. But Sarge, but when they come out here into this climate of where I'm at out here in this great desert of Nevada and what have you, they get burned to a crisp. Now, is that cosmic justice? Is that nature's retribution for their atrocities that they committed? Please help me, Sarge, for I am ignorant.
All right. I'd like to put this in context because I don't think it is within our power to forgive anything. Everybody concerned with the matter is dead, every single one. The Indians, the people who did it, who promulgated it, all we can do today is acknowledge it and commemorate it and put it in context. And that's what I'd like to do. Now, the act was supported by a narrow majority in the House of Representatives. A Democrat named Andrew Jackson, just like all Democrats do, and Southern and white settlers, state governments. Now, they supported it, but a lot of tribes, the Whig Party, which became the Republican Party, and many people left the Whig Party to form the Republican Party, they opposed it. So it wasn't uniformly supported by all Americans or even much of Congress. So, you know, there were all sorts of legal efforts that would allow the Indian tribes to stay on their land in the eastern United States. They failed. The Cherokee quite famously challenged the relocation. They were unsuccessful in the courts, and then they got forcibly removed by the government on the Trail of Tears March. I know you heard about that. So let's put everything in context. We're not talking about a uniform condemnation of the Sioux. We're talking about an act that, yes, did eventually succeed in the House of Representatives, but wasn't supported by all Americans, not by any means. And the Native tribe did eventually, and again, that does not excuse or explain away the suffering of those who are involved, like any other atrocity from any other nation throughout the vast history of atrocity in the world. But the Indian nations that were relocated eventually managed to turn affairs to their advantages as they now live today on their sovereign lands, frequently reaping enormous profits from casinos and the like. Just get everything in context.
Sorry.
We don't have to forgive anything. I'm not going to forgive anything.
Okay, but Sarge, now all of us, would you from Chicago, Sarge, I know you played a game of chance, man, rather if it was poker, bumping stones, man.
I've never gone to
a
casino
to
play a game. I've never in my life, I don't believe gambling. I've gone to casinos to watch a show with other people. I have never played the slots, ever played any game, card game, any game chance ever in my entire life. Not one.
Okay. So now
I've played
the
lottery maybe 20 times in my life. I've played the lottery.
Okay, but you still gamble, Sarge. Okay, you know, playing
20
the lottery
times or so,
is gambling,
I don't
too.
Think I make a habit of it.
Okay, all righty, okay. It is a vice, but however, when you go into business for yourself, referring to yourself as an entrepreneur, meaning one who takes risk. It's a French word. You know, if I recall some of my basic business classes out there at Cal State Los Angeles. Okay. But the thing is, though, Sarge, why is it in the American ethos, okay, is that they feel that we should be captured as slaves and brought here to the U.S.? Now, there was some dumb bunny. Now, there was something. Now, Brother Che knows this person, you know, and I give Brother Che, you know, his credit. And if you're there, Brother Che, and if you can comment, okay, please mention the name of the woman who had stated that she was thankful for slavery because if she was still over in Africa, she would have still been worshiping a tree.
I would love to answer this one.
Hold on, Sarge. Let me answer it for him. It was Winsome, the lieutenant governor of Virginia.
Okay, that stated some dumb shit like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Winsome Sears.
Now,
her name is Winsome Sears.
Okay, now let's be honest something here, folks. that I know for a fact, okay? I've been in the forests of Washington State, of Oregon, of Northern California, you know what I'm saying, far away from Los Angeles. But do you know how fresh that air is and how invigorating it would be for you? You see what I mean? So in a way, a tree is to be worshipped. Just like as some of the indigenous people had stated down there in the Amazon jungle, you know, when all these corporations is coming through there, you know, killing all the trees and forestation in the Amazon jungle, stated is that the savage is not the one who lives in the jungle. The savage is the one who comes along and destroys it. Now, I'll give you a current savage that you have, you know, in these contemporary times, and his ass is welcome to call in, although I doubt it because, you know, I'm not in his class with $300-400 trillion. That's that clown by the name of Bill Gates and also, too, and Jeff Bezos. And I want to put it out there that the next time you guys get on your little rocket ship, please fly it directly to the sun so that you will see the light and do all of humanity a huge favor. Okay.
Okay. You put a lot on the table there for me. I'd like to go back to the beginning where you brought up Winston Sears and statement that she was grateful for slavery. I don't know exactly if you're exactly quoting her correctly, but for the sake of argument, let's say that you are. Okay? All right. Now.
Okay.
Now. I'll respond by saying this. I am never going to be great. Slavery is one of the greatest atrocities.
If it wasn't for human slavery, she would still be in Africa worshiping a tree. That's exactly what our cool mammy says.
Okay, got it. Now, I'm not going to say, because I don't speak for her, and I don't intend to try to speak for her.
You don't speak for us,
but I'm going to say this. All right, I'm just going to put my take on it. Now, you asked me for my take. I'm trying to give a take. Not being able to speak, but I can speak for myself, and I'm not going to say I'm grateful for slavery, because slavery, as I said before, is one of the greatest sins and crimes against human liberty that has ever existed, no matter where it occurs. All right? So that's my take on slavery. But you're asking me individually and personally, I am grateful to be in the United States. Now, let me say that again. I, Sarge, am grateful to be living in the United States.
Sarge, was it your ancestors and our ancestors that made this country so freaking great?
They had a hand in it. They weren't solely responsible for it.
So now, come on, Sarge. Working from sun up to sundown with somebody.
Okay,
okay.
You're going to another argument now, and you haven't even let me answer the first one.
Okay, all right, Sarge. Okay, let's Sarge answer the first question. Okay, then we'll
and then
argue
I'll be happy to answer the second one.
Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead,
now,
Sarge.
Let me just say, I am grateful. Let me repeat. I cannot overemphasize this enough. I am grateful to be living in the United States as a natural-born citizen of the United States. I am grateful.
Okay.
The only way I would exist at this present time was because some of my ancestors were slaves.
No,
some of my ancestors were slave owners. Some were voluntary relations with the slaves that were here. It took all of them to make me. All of them. I can't cut anyone out of my ancestral line and exist.
Where
the term for it, as far as I am concerned, is a paradox. It is a paradox which I have reconciled.
White shirt, black indigenous.
Okay, and we all do know, Sarge.
Did you understand what I just said?
Black indigenous.
Okay, let me say this again. Now, this is what gets me here. The only way I exist is because slavery is a sin. That doesn't mean it didn't enable my existence, and I don't acknowledge it. So it is called a paradox. I have reconciled the paradox, and I'm moving on.
You're moving
Okay.
You have to. What am I going to come back and try to undo it?
Okay. But hold on, though, Sarge. Okay, so what you just did, Sarge, You just supported our premise right here, man. You know, it's Shabaka's Black Experience, Frontline Black News, and Outlaw Radio, which is the more reason for the reparations, Sarge, because of this paradox. Now, the rape and slave trading pedophile, okay, is because that's what he was, Sarge. He was a raping, slave trading pedophile. We have to recognize this fact, Sarge. Okay, it's because, you know, let's look at all the infant babies that were taken away from their mother's arms. You see what I'm saying? And they were to never see their children again. Only the Almighty knows what happened to those babies, Sarge.
Now, Shabaka.
Yeah.
I know, I am certain, to a moral certainty, that your father was not a rapist. But what if your father was a rapist? You would not exist without your rapist father. And if you are happy to be alive, you are acknowledge the fact that your rapist father enabled your existence.
Hello?
Sarge. I don't want to exist.
Whoa. Hold on, Sarge.
Hello?
Wait a minute, Sarge.
Black women and girls on the plantation.
You can acknowledge that and move on from it, too.
Hello?
Okay, yeah, go ahead, Mr. Barnes.
First of all, shout out to y'all. I love the energy. Here's the deal. Sean Moore is free.
Yeah.
He is free. I spoke with him just, I wanted to say that.
Okay.
I dig my brother Sarge, because one of the most important things that he said was contact. And if you listen to Outlaw Radio, I talk about context all the time. Because it's very easy to quote somebody who said something that you disagree with, but you got to be careful, because sometimes you're disagreeing with a soundbite. So you have to ask yourself, what is the context? Secondly, I'll say this. I totally agree with the brother, because I'm one of those, I'm a foundational Black American. My parents were sharecroppers from the Jim Crow South, Mississippi, right?
Whoa.
They picked cotton in the South. I'm talking about the color purple, but the real version.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
They came north. I'm a product of the Great Migration. If we want to talk about, I'm a history buff, right?
Yeah. Yes,
so
sir.
So the Great Migration, in which they escaped the South, came to the North, and were able to empower themselves just enough so that I could be a first-generation college graduate, right?
Okay.
So moving the needle forward from, at one point we were slaves. Yes, we were subjected to all kinds of atrocities. And I say all the time that Black people only come from America because the trials and tribulations that we've endured in America justify us being the only true products in terms of racial identity that this country ever created. So
right.
I'm with my brother
and
say, all of that shit happened. It did. Yes, they fucked us up seven ways from Sunday.
Yep.
But
right.
at this point, in 2023, as a foundational Black American, I've moved on. Because the one thing that I tell Black people all the time is, we got to stop crying about how they play the game and play the game like them, if we're going to stay in America, right?
Okay.
So I'm not crying about... Hold on, my sister. I can't really hear. Hold on a sec, sis. Hold on. You know I love you, Lady Chang. I want to say this. This system that we're involved in right now requires us to adapt, right? And we are the people who have persevered through the most trauma and drama. So why can't we adapt a new philosophy in which we say all the things that happen are true crimes? Like my brother said, slavery is the worst crime ever committed against another human being, right?
Okay.
And we endured it. And not only did we endure it, we eventually overcame it to the point where now I can play my hand. Back in the days, I couldn't even play my hand. So I say, let it go, and let's adapt a new philosophy of solidarity, unity, transparency, clarity, education, information, elevation, physically, mentally, on all those different levels. Let's say, okay, all that shit happened. Let's go. What are we going to do? What are we going to do now? So I will my brother.
Ain't no stopping us now. That's what we're going to do. We're going to
okay, now I got a question.
We are
okay.
There you go.
At the same time. We can't just...
There you go, right on.
Okay, now I got a question. Okay.
Yeah, no, hold on before you ask that question. Caller 847-6207, what's your name when I call for?
You know, go click the mute button.
Yeah,
there you go.
Okay. All right. We got 847. The last three is 207. Your mic is unmuted. Feel free to join in on the conversation. Okay, now, Mr. Barnes, okay, you know, I have the utmost respect for you, sir, and I have the utmost respect, you know, for your education. You know, I got somewhat of an education myself, and I do know the word is education. Okay. Huh?
Say she want to speak after you. All right, so I'm going to let
you. Okay. All right, dude. So let me, okay, now, let me finish with what I'm about to say here. And I told you this story here, though, too, Brother Chad. Okay, mm-hmm. For those of you who are familiar with the Bay Area, you know, you got a subway system there called the Bay Area Rapid Transit. And, yes,
yeah,
it will take you right down there. Yeah, and it will take you right to the heart of Silicon Gang Valley. Okay. I'm in a Starbucks, okay? I go get me, you know, a cup of coffee or what have you, and the young lady was from the continent. And I asked her if she was Fulani or if she was Ashanti. She identified herself as Ashanti and made the statement to me, well, if I was Fulani, I would look just like you. Now, you know, and I'm not being a devil's advocate right here. But, and Mr. Barnes, you know, or Dr. Barnes, very educated brother. Sarge, he's educated too. Sarge does a lot of reading. In fact, Sarge, you got me with books right here, right now, you know, the kind of man you. You know what I mean? Okay. But the thing is, though, Sarge, when I got stopped by your contemporaries in the city of Los Angeles on the corner of Hollywood Boulevard and Western Avenue, okay, I got pulled over by Hollywood Division. They put a 9mm to the back of my dome and said, nigga, you move your black ass 1 inch, I will blow your brains out from here to Imperial Highway. Folks, do you know how far Imperial Highway is from Hollywood Boulevard? Okay, now, this was not a police officer. This was a race soldier. And as we all know, is that the police agencies, okay, evolved from the slave patrollers. They even wear the same little badges. In design. Now, the only elected police official that you have, well, the police are policy enforced, okay? But however, the only elected official that you have to, quote-unquote, go out here and enforce the law would be the county sheriff, okay? And by the way, Mr. Barnes, I am so glad that you all in Milwaukee County, man, got rid of that sorry-ass fool. What was that clown's name? Sheriff Clark. He was a dump supporter, man, and then when the dump started going down the tubes, man, he jumped ship real fast, just like Jefferson Beauregard Sessions did with his dumbo ears flying-looking ass. You know what I mean? And that Sheriff Clark of Milwaukee County, oh, man, he made Thurl Gates look like a Boy Scout. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I do want to say this. As far as Sheriff Clark goes, what he did was, once again, here's a brother who they kind of made us think he was a Democrat, but he was actually a Republican. So he's a conservative cat. He has a platform. He's still in power here politically because the game is, I want to be a lobbyist. I want to deal with special interests because that's who actually controls politicians. So he's still around, and every now and then he'll come around and make an asinine statement. But the reality is that sheriff gig he had is bullshit anyways. And the county jail here, which is governed by the sheriff, seven people have died since June of last year in the county jail, including one of my close friends, who they cut his water off in his cell, and he died from not being able to get access to water. So that's
dehydration.
A gig anyway. And because of the economic conditions here, the county tried to outsource the services to the county jail. They just locked themselves in the library for 17 days in protest on the treatment in the county jail. I just wanted to throw that out there. And Sheriff Clark, hey, he's smart because he didn't cry about how the game was played. He started playing it just like them. And he's also married to a very rich white woman who's the benefactor of old money here in Wisconsin. I just want to put that out
there. Oh, okay. Got you. Okay.
Well, you got old a way to go to catch up with Fulton County, I'll tell you that much. We had that many kids that died in 6 months.
Yeah, Johnny Rose is dead. Hey, when you guys come westbound, be sure to check out the Twin Towers in Los Angeles.
I wanted to add to the conversation. Go ahead, Lady Tay.
Right.
I was just saying to a brother Barnes, I was like, was that really important, the fact that he buried a white lady? Is that important to the story? I was like, oh, man, I threw my hands up in the air and almost walked out. I was just kidding.
I can tell you why it's important.
Else,
I can tell you why it's important.
My black experience is still ongoing. I mean, it's in the police every day outside. They're either congregating, politicking in front of my house looking at nothing, or they're slow by, you know, profiling, you know, anytime I'm outside, just because, you know, my distaste and disgust for them is a real life situation. Yeah. I mean, I can understand that you say, you know, you want to move past slavery and whatnot, but black shame, black death, black everything that's bad is still being capitalized upon every day. And even as we can talk about solutions and whatnot, I mean, I decided that, you know, I know that, you know, I'm a foundational Black American sister too. You know, I'm a lot, but I don't like my mulatto experience. It's been horrible. However, you know, I do believe my more richly melanated sisters have it worse. I want to say this. I was like, I don't think that it's ever really over. There's 1 to 20 damn atrocities happening to us a given day. And from the time we wake up to the time we go to sleep, somebody's terrible guy, we be tokenized, we be hurt, or somebody, you know, there's always something testing, you know, or something happens with our children or our mates. I mean, it just never ending. And in some sense, you know, I can understand, yeah, we talk about maybe we should not talk about that so much, but how can you not talk about it so much when your skin wants to rebel just from the genetics of it all, you know? And it's so, amongst that, we don't have a peaceful moment, even no matter how much we try to have peace within ourselves. We have real problems with real problems healing and communicating amongst ourselves, treating each other well. And even like today, earlier, I was having a discussion with some brothers about black nationalism, right? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm all on it. I'm on that. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Where I'm at, that's where I'm at, you know. And to think that in order to unify, you know, like, you know, I can't be inclusive with the others that have never really been inclusive with us, you know, the other nationalities, ethnicities, races, whatever, you know, that have only caused us further. They leapfrog over us, but in regards to everything that we need, that we absolutely need, not want. It's a need. It's not a necessity or a luxury. We need to be treated differently. We need to have our to be able to create wealth for our families. We need to be able to, you know, have working wages that match, you know, and not be behind them. We need to not face racism. Fucking just going to Chick-fil-A. You know what I mean? We need to have a regular life. We need to be able to trust that our children are going to go to the store and come right back.
Can I just give a short recap?
We could just pretend like, okay, well, that's over with. I've moved forward. We're still black. And we still got like 30, 40 more years of life to live, brothers. You know what I mean? I'm just saying that every day
we're reminded of our condition.
They're still making money over our faith and our debt. And our miseries, and they don't allow us to even be ourselves in person or even in public. They capitalize on our, you know, the way we bicker amongst each other. If we seem to get into a small little disagreement, that we will easily heal within 30 minutes. They love all that. They love all that derogatory stuff. And then they get away with calling us all kinds of ugly names and just really ignoring what we've been saying we need. Everybody else, they're giving legislation to fiction, my brothers. Fiction, LGBTQ+.
Shabaka.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say this to the sister. First of all, the reason why I reference his wife being white is because, first and foremost, you have to understand this. David Clark is a self-hating Negro.
Clearly.
He does
right.
not love his black. And he's a black man, okay? And
right.
so what do self-hating Negroes do? They try to become white men. And so what you
right.
do is you go and get a white girl. Now, in this
right.
in Wisconsin where we're at, there's old money. So mm-hmm. if you really want to indoctrinate yourself as a white folks Negro, you go get a white
right.
girl who is from old money. That empowers
right.
you. And once you share your conservative views with her, she can then say, look, I got a good one here. So in essence, you become
right.
her nigga. Now, I want to say
exactly.
this too. The black woman is the greatest natural resource ever produced. Without the black woman, the black man is only at half his capacity in terms of executing his power. So
right.
my wife is a black woman. We are neither one of us are biracial, and shout out to biracial people. But with us, we approach blackness from we approach blackness from a different perspective. See?
I'm with you on it.
Because we understand our racial identity, so it's a different thing for foundational
mm-hmm.
black Americans versus even maybe biracial Americans. So I just want to say
mm-hmm.
shout out to the black woman, and I think that there's no
right.
you cannot undermine the need for black men and black women to get it together. We start fucking with the gene
right.
pool. We start fucking with the gene pool. This is pure
mm,
blood.
Right.
This is good blood. And we need to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
We need to circle the wagons and keep it in the village. Now, if you
mm-hmm.
so happen
mm-hmm.
to get a biracial individual, that's fine, because if you're biracial, you're black too. Ain't the law
right.
saying a drip of black blood makes you black?
Yeah,
so
that's what that movie Band of Angels was about. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yeah, they made a movie called Band of Angels that dealt just with that.
I believe strongly
okay.
that the black family should stay, you know, black mother, black family, black seed. Totally, 150%. I'm with you on that. That doesn't change, you know, that my sentiments, my internal sentiments do not reflect the shade of my skin. I know I'm black first. It's always been like that. I'm black, Indian, and French, black first. You know, I understand that. I understand everything you say. I share the same sentiment. You know, and I would never want my, say for hypothetical, me and Mr. Ferris have a baby. I would never want my black son to bring home a white woman, ever. Doesn't matter if
Why
I
not?
Have a blood or not. I just wouldn't want that. I would want my seed to carry on with the black family, because it's important. It's needed. It's a very important thing, you know, to me, and that's where I've always stood on it.
But even if we look at the optics of the situation when we talk about foundational black Americans, and this is where the game really changes, because I'm a dark-skinned, I'm a brown-skinned brother. My wife is a brown-skinned sister. When we walk in the
mm-hmm.
room, we already know what we identify as. I'm not light-skinned. If people don't say, what he mixed with? They say, that's all nigga right there.
Yep.
And so
mm-hmm.
you can't escape that now. And historically, like my people of lighter hue have been able to pass. They've been
yeah.
able to, you
mm-hmm.
know,
yeah.
they was the house niggas. We was in the field with our black asses.
Yep.
And so
right.
When you're wearing the melanin hardcore like this, it's a different approach, because you got to embrace it, understand it. You got to love it. You got to appreciate it. And then you got to recognize the opposition to it. So
right.
when I say, when I bring in black men and black women, I'm talking about the total unification of us as a people, making sure that we share our unique gifts amongst each other before, because we ain't got ourselves together yet. It really ain't time for you to go get no white girl. Now, if you get one, that's fine. You love who
mm-hmm.
you love. But I'm saying your intent and your purpose should be to acknowledge and understand the power of black on black, black love, right?
Right.
And
okay.
black men and black women.
Yeah, I totally understand. Doesn't shade deflect the message. I 100% understand and agree with you completely. you know, I think that, you know, I cannot change the shading of my skin. I know my father is just dark as jet. I know that. But I can't change how fair I am. However, I do know where my lineage is going back to, and I do understand it. And even though I would consider myself, you know, black first, definitely from the soil, you know what I mean? And I would say this, I would definitely believe that, you know, the more richly melanated brothers and sisters should be together, should stay together, should always be together.
And you know the funny part is two dark-skinned people, both my kids are lighter than us. Both of my kids came out light-skinned.
Shabaka, okay. I'd like to make a comment on what I've heard.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Look here, folks. Let's get started. I hear the discussion.
That is true. It's definitely your sentiment, I believe it. Exactly how you worded it.
Okay. I regularly hear this discussion about the pain of our ancestors who experienced the horrors of slavery and the brutal experience of Jim Crow and all of us. And I get it because it's historical. And we all empathize with the suffering of human beings historically, particularly those who are our ancestors. I get it. But here's what I have a problem with. Now, taking this out of the racial context for just a moment, then I'm going to bring it back to the racial context. As you know, I was in infantry, okay?
Right.
I know what it's like to be under shot and shell, having to duck under machine gun fire, having to endure artillery fire, having to suffer in the mud and the crud and getting all kinds of diseases and still have to keep functioning while you got malaria and you're humping 80 to 100 pounds on your back in 110-degree heat all day long. I know what that is.
Wow.
But I cannot say because I endured that I know what it was like for the men who came ashore at Omaha Beach on D-Day, and 2,000 of them were dead before nightfall in 12 hours. 2,000 of them were dead on that one beach. I cannot appropriate their suffering as mine because I did not experience. I can only relate to my own. Similarly, I think it is inappropriate and unseemly for me to appropriate the suffering of my ancestors as though I were owned. To some extent, and I understand why people do it, but I think it's somewhat neurotic and self-absorbed. We can learn from it. We should acknowledge it, but we cannot appropriate it as ours because it did not happen to us. It is simply inappropriate.
And you're welcome to it, and you're entitled to it.
Oh no, Sarge, you're not gonna get a slut. You're not gonna get a pass on that. No,
I'm not looking for a pass. I would like a response, but I don't need a pass. You don't have to give me a pass.
Sarge, do you believe that we are ancestors? Yes or no?
I believe I have the genetics of my ancestors. I'm not them. No.
Hold on, folks. I'm a different human being.
I'm several generations removed. How can I be the same?
Okay, Sarge, hold that thought. Okay, hold that thought. I want to, I got to learn this tactic here from Mr. Barnes, okay? I want to check out our chat room right here. Okay, we got a couple of comments right here from an individual who goes by Chef Rob. He states, Jesse Lee Peterson said he thanks the white man for slavery. Pastor Manny said he thanks God for slavery. Chef Rob says that America ain't great. And I think you're familiar with him, Sarge, because he mentions you by name because he states, tell Sarge I'm here to bring balance. He is, quote-unquote, so full of shit. Okay. Well, Chef Rob, Sarge is on the air, and you're welcome to give us a call here at 516-418-59. Chef Rob.
That's him. That's 847.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
greetings, Rob. Okay. All right.
Shout out to Chef Rob when I was on Blog Talk and we did Chocolate City. He used to rock with us. And Sarge, I think I was a Blog Talk cat one time. I remember you, man. I know how you put it down.
can I make a comment real quick?
Same for you, sir, and I welcome your colloquy and your interlocution on this here topic. I can't wait to hear what you got to say.
Like you got the floor, sir. Okay, Chef Rob.
Yeah.
Sounds like you got the floor. All right, Chef Rob.
Okay, yeah.
Drop now.
All right. I just want to say greetings, everyone, including you, Chef Sarge, including you. But what I just heard from you, Chef Sarge, was this thing about the soldiers being killed. I'm a former soldier myself. Remember that, Sarge? What you said about the soldiers being killed in Normandy, and then go ahead and saying this, this other thing, about slavery, you can't relate. Those are two different things. When we talk about slavery, a lot of us are blood related to those individuals,
right.
And the atrocities just kept happening before and after slavery. There's no equating the two, sorry. Those are totally two different things.
Well, all I'm saying is I cannot appropriate this suffering as my own, as many people do. That is simply unseemly, even if they were my ancestors by blood. I can't do that.
Okay,
it's inappropriate for me to do so.
Your blood ancestors, you don't give a damn about. Is that what you're saying?
That's not what I said. It's not what I said.
That's what you just said.
Not what I said. Let me put a finer point on it then. Now, if there is an injustice to be remedied that I have a call to, that I have an ability to access, then I'm going to seek that remedy for that injustice because I am obligated to secure justice for anyone when and where I can. What I cannot do is someone else's suffering as mine.
Exactly. That part.
Okay, but,
that part,
but Sarge, but does that include you using a napkin holder as well, too, Sarge?
Oh, hell yeah. Self-defense is an inalienable right, and you better believe the Sarge is going to make use of it whenever and wherever he can.
Okay, now, Sarge, I want to read something to you, Sarge. Hold on, Sarge. Okay, Chef Rob, just give me one moment, sir. I'm very eager of what you
guys
said.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, Sarge, I want to read something here to you. This is a book written by Reginald Major, first published in 1971. Okay, and we want to go right here. Okay, Sarge, now it's like this right here. Let me see what we want, what we believe, but hold on. Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. Oh, yeah. Now, Sarge, point number 7 right here. You're familiar with this. Here, I know you are, Brother Check. We want an immediate end to police brutality and murder of
black
people.
Black Panther Party Manifesto.
Police and special agents to be excluded and restricted from school premises. We believe that there should be an end to harassment by the police department of black people. We believe that if all the police were pulled out of the schools would become more functional. You want to know something? I agree with that. Okay, now, I remember, man, when I was going to high school in the mid-70s, when they first started bringing them focus on it, and I saw them abusing students. But then there was this one student where it took like about 7 of them to get him down because this young man was a martial artist. Oh, they got him, but he put some work in, and I loved seeing them cops, man, with the blumped up eyes, nose broke, teeth leaking, the whole 9 yards. In other words, Sarge, and I'm sure all will agree, God gave all living creatures a means of self-defense. He gave the panther his claw, okay? He gave the canine his teeth. He gave man his fist. Some creatures he gave intellect to. You see what I mean? But when you get sacks of shit like the dump and the panties, the transvestite who is the current governor of Florida, and, yeah, Governor the panties. I'm saying you wear women's underwear. You probably go to Frederick to Hollywood and get your shit, too, is because they do got Hollywood, Florida. They might have a branch office down there. Okay. All right. Now, but the problem is, Sarge, when they sit up there, man, and tell us to forget about that, Sarge, okay, that there is a very, very great insult to those that made the ultimate sacrifice, rather if it was on the Underground Railroad, rather if it was the Haitian Revolution, rather if it was the Black Panther Party, rather if it was those in the Civil Rights Movement. And what did Fannie Lou Hamer say, her most infamous lines, okay? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. You see what I'm saying? Sarge, I get tired of a man my age, and I'm an old bastard, and I'm not going to exactly say what my age is, but I am past the age of 50, okay. Each time that one of these race soldiers get behind me, Sarge, when I'm driving my vehicle, and now, the thing that goes through my mind, pull me over. I know he's running my plate. I pay all my tickets. I make all my court appearances and what have you. You see what I'm saying? And particularly out here on a long, lonely highway, Sarge, like say, about 11 p.m., and just you in a patrol car out there, you know what I mean? Now, he pulls you over. Thing going through my mind, is he going to kill me? Is he going to plant, you know, illegal
substances? It's like somebody doing dishes in the background. It's kind of hard to pick up some of the things.
Okay, somebody's, okay, now who's doing, now who's on dish duty now? Now, is that the chef? Now, Chef Rob, are you at work, man, by any chance, washing the dishes, sir?
Kind of, brother. I had a big party over the weekend, so I'm still cleaning up. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Well,
I knew that
you,
sound.
Man.
Did a lot of KB. I know that sound.
Okay. Now,
I did a whole lot of KB,
chef,
baby. I know that sound.
Okay. Now, as Chef Rob brought up here, and I'd like your feedback on this here too, Mr. Barnes as well, and also to yours, Lady Chase. Is Lady Chase still with us? Oh, okay. All righty. But anyway.
Yeah, we still
okay.
Here. I just was on
mute. Oh, okay.
Okay.
All righty. Okay. Now, Chef Rob was talking about this dude by the name of Jesse Lee Peterson. Okay, Brother Che, it's known, and I'm sure that you would agree, Mr. Barnes, as well, too, because I've heard you mention Jesse Lee Peterson as well, too. He says, now, this trick says he thanks the white man for slavery. He thanks the white man for slavery. Okay, now you see, this is what Malcolm X was saying is in his speech, you have the field Negro and you have the house Negro. Okay,
really?
The field Negro will go up there to the house Negro and say, let's get away from this evil master. Let's run away. And what the house Negro say, man, you crazy. What's better than what we got right here? Now, I see black folks and people in general. This is the worst form of slavery right here, is because the chain isn't on your body, it's on your fucking brain, okay? How many times have you seen in these hillbilly movies like In the Heat of the Night with Sidney Poitier or the other ones there with old sheriff, good old sheriff, come up there, pull the brother over, and the sheriff gets the brother out the car, and the sheriff will hand him the brother a pair of handcuffs and says, boy, put these on yourselves and go have a seat right there in the back of my car. How many times, you know, has that scenario been played out? And I'm not making light of this evil situation. Now, keep in mind, now this is a form of why reparations is needed. Is because, see, because what it is, man, you got this man psychologically, you see what I'm saying, enslaved. You know, similar to the Stockholm Syndrome. Let's look at the case, Sarge. Now, this is right up your alley, Sarge, and I'm sure, Dr. Barnes, you got some knowledge on this. Let's look at the Hibernia Bank, San Francisco, 1974, Sindhianese Liberation
Army.
SLA, okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
Patty
yeah
Hearst.
Okay, Patricia Hearst. Yeah, okay, Patty Hearst, okay, who was the daughter of, or the granddaughter of William Randolph Hearst, who owned the San Francisco Examiner and the Hearst Publications and what have you. Do you know that she had participated in a robbery of a bank of which an individual was killed? Now, under California's law, okay? If you are in the process of committing a felony and someone dies, you are automatically hit with murder one. Now, what does Gruesome Newsome got to say about that? And then at that time when that murder did go down, you had a dude by the name of, I believe, Jerry Brown, you know, who was the governor, and that, and didn't enforce that, you know what I mean? So what's up with that? You see, so when these individuals get up, said, oh, no, you colored folks don't need no daggone reparations. I decided that was in the past, you see. But why are we so supposed to be so sympathetic with Patty Hearst, you know, who's the daughter of a billionaire, you know what I'm saying, who could care less about the
Hey, brother.
Yes, sir.
Can I say something real quick?
Go ahead.
Also, Patty Hearst. Yeah, Patty Hearst. Sorry,
yes.
Who was Patty Hearst's grandfather?
William Randolph Hearst.
William Randolph Hearst.
What else did he do with his newspaper? He's the one who instigated a war between the United States and Cuba.
His father was, not him. His father.
Her grandfather is identifying the right person.
Now that just shows you what kind of mindset she came from. But this guy was also
right.
a piece of shit because he was instrumental
right.
in getting a whole lot of innocent people killed.
Right.
Sent us to war.
Yeah.
Showed the power of the media. Yes.
Right.
Hey, can I just say this right quick? I think when we talk about foundational Black Americanism, we get caught up because Black people, at the basis of this, we're spiritual people. And some of these Negroes are Old Testament. Some of these Negroes are Old Testament and some are New Testament, right?
Right.
So we can talk about all the atrocities that happened historically, but my struggle, my generation, we went through the crack. We went through the crack epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
So my formative
right.
years from 1985 to 1995, I went from 10 to 20. I watched the world change. I watched the dynamics
right.
of the community change due to the crack influx, which was also a government initiative, right? We know now.
Exactly. Under the Reagan regime.
Right.
Yes, sir.
We know
under the Reagan regime.
The federal government is directly responsible for the crack epidemic. But what I'm saying is,
while
I don't identify with the marchers on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, I identify with the crack epidemic in urban America in the North in the 90s, in which gunplay
right.
and murder, death, kill became the norm.
Mm-hmm.
To be a
right.
predator was to be a hero in the community. So this is
yes,
what I'm
sir.
Saying. It cuts off. I can talk about historically what has happened to us hundreds of years ago, but I can also relate stories from 15, 20 years ago in which this
oh,
system,
yes, sir.
Which, by the way, is not broken. It's functioning.
No,
like
I wasn't doing this.
It's supposed to happen. We are supposed to be victimized. We're supposed to be subjugated. But, like, I heard your story about the police. I'm going to tell you this. When the police get behind me, I ain't sweating shit because I got a driver's license. My tags is good. But I understand the price of doing business. And there's so if it so happens that I get killed in interaction with the police, it will be one of those cases where you just killed the innocent Black man who wasn't doing shit. I don't sweat when the slave master get behind me. I don't sweat
right.
when the police get behind me. I be like, if you pull me over, you practicing, motherfucker. Because it ain't got that same house
yeah.
in this car. And I'm going
yeah.
home. And I've also, in the midst of a purchase of, I had a brand new AK-47 that I had purchased legally in my back seat and got pulled over in the suburbs up here by a Menominee Falls, if you know, by one of their, like you say, a sundown town. A sundown
yep,
time,
right.
nigga, what you doing up here? But you know what I
right.
did? I just calmly called my wife and put it
right.
on the speaker and said, baby,
exactly.
get to the interaction. And
exactly.
I'm still here today to tell the story. So I'm saying, it ain't about what you do, it's about how you do it. And there's a way to be a Black man. There's a way to be a foundational black American here, and we lose sight of that because we keep talking about what happened to us hundreds of years ago. Let's talk about what the fuck happened to me last week.
Okay, got you.
I'm having a great time.
Yes, brother. Okay, Mr. Barnes, appreciate your energy. Yeah, appreciate your energy. Now, with me, gentlemen, now, with me being an old bastard, you see what I'm saying? Okay, and, and I'm in my twilight years, you see what I mean? But as Mr. Barnes had pointed out, is that they did that. It was the Reagan administration that did that. Also, too, Brother Che Nkrumah did post up on the wall. And what was his name, Brother Che? Gary Webb, the LAPD officer who went before Julian.
He was a reporter.
He wasn't a cop.
Right, he was a reporter.
Okay. All right, but this individual
for the
that they
Sacramento
had up there,
B. He worked for the Sacramento B.
Okay. No, Sarge, this individual that I'm speaking of who worked in for the LAPD and the Metropolitan Division of the LAPD, which is LAPD's elite squad. The Metropolitan Division of the LAPD is the ones that are called SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. Now, I know you know what that is, Sarge, okay? And this person that came up and stated that, hey, you know, it was a government plot. It was called Operation Pegasus. Okay, they systemically put it off there in the black community to destroy it. And I've been shot at twice already. So this is why I'm spilling all the beans. And then, Brother Parrish, it was you that brought it to my attention 3 weeks later. They found him with two slugs in his dome, lights out, toes point north. He was through. Yeah, and that there was a brave man, in my opinion, is because as far as I am concerned, the Los Angeles Police Department is just like what Christopher Dorner described it as. It is a terrorist organization. And then, too, Sarge, be sure to go read the book of called Chief by Daryl Gates. Okay, you said you was going to read it. I've read it. Gates was sick, and he was a psychopath. I had no feelings. Gates gets up there and says casual drug users need to be taken out and shot. He stated this before the U.S. Congress. But his son was one of the biggest dope fiends in L.A. County. His son got arrested for pulling the armed robbery to go feed his habit in a place called Huntington Park, California.
What's new about white people being corrupt? Joe Biden's son is a crackhead with a fucking laptop full of government.
We've been trying to tell everybody for years.
And we still ain't found out where the cocaine came from. Remember the mysteriously cocaine winded up at the White House?
That's just the tip of the iceberg, man. The corruption of that family. That's just the tip of the iceberg.
Boy, ladies, can
I make a comment, please?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Shit.
Kennedy. Go all the way back. Rich white people kids is always foul and corrupt. There's no surprise in that.
Right.
And
right.
They get away with the shit. White people get away with the shit. We're disproportionately convicted in our justice system right now. In my state, black men get more time than their white counterparts do to commit the same goddamn crime. It ain't nothing new that this system ain't for us. That's what I'm saying. We got to move on.
And there's no argument.
Kevin Barnes. They pass it to hell. And they owe us. We can do exactly that. Move along.
And there's no argument with undisputed truth, okay? But Chef Rob said he wanted to drop some knowledge. Okay, Chef Rob, go ahead with it. Come on with it.
Yeah, I wanted to go ahead and brother was talking about, you keep talking about move on. I would tell you how I live my life. I can't determine where I'm going tomorrow until I figure out what happened yesterday, and that what happened yesterday can go ahead and help me today. You can't go ahead and ignore the past. You must learn from the past,
right?
In order to make in order to make changes for you today.
I couldn't agree more, but we shouldn't dwell in the past either.
Hold on, sorry. I agree with the chef.
I agree, brother. And my experience, my black experience is still ongoing every day. you know, it's still happening, regardless of what happened in the past, or, you know, there's still things that happen on a day-to-day basis to me. You see what I'm saying? I'm still going through same systemic changes that I won't be able to know. You know, it's just how you said it. You know, we got to acknowledge it, and we got to, you know, we're going to eventually move past it, but we can't really move past it if every day.
We're constantly reminded of it.
Absolutely, but once again, I grew up on the knee of a mother who lived through it, so I listened to the stories about her mother and her father hiding them under the house when Emmett Till got lynched, because he was in Bunny, Mississippi, and it was in Kosciuszko, Mississippi. All my mother ever told me was about the way shit used to be, how they were treated in the South. So I understand it, I recognize it, and for me it's fuel. For me, it's fuel. I'm going to be that much better because I know how they fucking treated us.
Exactly.
So I'm that much more tight. I'm from the streets. In the streets, you got to be tight. If you want to live, you got to be tight. You can't leave no stone unturned. And that's how I feel as a black man. You don't leave no stone unturned.
Right.
My fault for being emotional.
Okay, now, Mr. Barnes, man, we appreciate your energy, brother, and definitely appreciate your input right here, man, and appreciate your education. Now, also, too, ladies and gentlemen, we created a hashtag about 6 years ago called Resurrection of the Mental Dead, and we have a group by the same name as well. Please contribute to that group. Please spread that hashtag right there. You know what I'm saying? It's because we got a whole lot of brain dead folks in our community. White America's got a whole lot of brain dead folks. You know what I'm saying? But the Asian community people, let's look at this here, particularly from what I observed out here on the West Coast. Now, when the rebellion went down in 1992, it was very incredible of how the Korean community had came together. And they went there, man, and circled their wagons. I mean, very, very quickly. And what I mean by quickly, let me see. The verdict came down, man, at about, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, April the 30th, 1992. Reginald Denny was getting the shit beat out of him, man, say about 45 minutes later, you know, the truck driver right there. Okay, but it's very interesting of how the Koreans went and armed themselves in a place called Koreatown, which is a section of the city of Los Angeles, and I spent some years over there in my youth, and I remember when there wasn't too many Koreans living over there, let alone them having a Koreatown. But this here just go to show how they pulled their resources together, you see what I'm saying, and build up their own community. Now, like what happened there early part of last month, we all commented on it, you too, Mr. Barnes, you know, when a brother threw up the bat signal with the hat, and Montgomery, and the chair incident happened down there at the Montgomery Brawl, you know what I mean? And definitely a shout out, you know, to the community coming together there, which is in the law of physics called an implosion, where you have scattered matter that comes together all of a sudden, okay?
That
like
dock,
you take your...
That dock, Chewbacca, was a slave, was an auction block.
Okay, well, see, once again, Brother Che, as we so eloquently pull it, but the same thing with the hurricanes. They take the paths of the slave ships. You see what I'm saying? That's the spirit of their ancestors. You see what I mean? And then when them good old boys got filled up with that joy juice, you know what I'm saying? Oh, well, man, I'm glad there. Pow, ping, bing, bing, bing. And then the chairman who got busy. Okay, then the chairman got busy. Okay, and then from what I understand is that Stephanie Mills, and correct me if I'm wrong, anybody,
America,
but Stephanie
case,
Mills,
I think, Chewbacca, Reggie Ray, the chairman. I think it was Lee Merritt that took his case.
Oh, okay, okay, and I do know Stephanie Mills is putting on a benefit concert to pay all his legal fees.
Nice. Shout out to Stephanie.
Yeah, you say. Yeah. See, now that there is beautiful. See, that's coalescence right there. That's unity right there, you see. Now, if we can come together like that, you know, and that there was a state of emergency, okay, brother did send up, excuse the expression, the bat signal with that hat, you see.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we got to give it to the youngster, Aquaman. Okay, and I see
Aquaman,
Kevin. Yeah. And I see Kevin Barnes has left the conversation. He dropped off. Okay, we definitely appreciate Mr. Barnes coming in when he can, too. And also, too, folks, definitely check out Outlaw Radio with Kevin Barnes. He comes on twice a week. You know him, the Witch Doctor, Sister Courtney and what have you. He has a great staff right there, and they're always dropping some very, very heavy knowledge. Okay. All righty. And I see Brother Chase.
Before we get off the air, there are two issues currently in news I want to run by you to get your take on.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Now, I know you and I are both big Second Amendment proponents. No doubt about that. On that, we are complete allegiance. I was just wondering your take on this little petty tyrant, Lucian Grisham in New Mexico, who decided to use the a health emergency to obliterate the Second Amendment rights of people in the city of Albuquerque and another county, and she actually had the nerve to say that her oath of office was not absolute, as she justified doing it. And she's getting all kind of backlash, amazingly enough, from gun control proponents and her own Democrat attorney general and the sheriffs in New Mexico. She's really catching flack for this.
What did you say her name was again, Sarge?
Lucian Griffin, Grisham, G-R-I-S-H-A-M. She issued this on Friday. She said she, on her own authority, with no legislative authority whatsoever, was going to suspend the right of the people in those two jurisdictions carry concealed or carry openly. People in the state said, hell no. On Sunday, they had a big-ass rally. It was hundreds, if not thousands, up there. They were all carrying their AR-15s and their pistols over. Not one cop tried to arrest them. Not one sheriff came in and messed with them. But they just flat out said, we're not obeying this edict, which is what it is. People haven't thought about running a revolt over this.
Okay, Sarge, hold on to prove your point here, man. I'm pulling it up right now. Okay, CNN anchor grills New Mexico Governor Lucian Grisham about public health gun ban order. How are you not violating the Constitution? Now, I agree with you on this here, Sarge, is because the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution states, hold on, Sarge, now here I go back to Panthers of Black Cat. Okay, bear with me, Sarge, I'm going to read it for all our listeners. And our well wishes to hear is that the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, the people should have the right to bear arms and it should not be infringed. Okay, it should not be infringed, meaning that there is nothing to go against it, period. Open and shut.
Well, people are pointing out to her there is no off-on switch for the United States Constitution. Not even a medical emergency, which this woman is trying to justify. And like I said, what is most startling to me is not just this edict, but is the fact she said her oath of office is not absolute. Now, look, if she really believes that, then she has an ounce of integrity in her body, which she does not. But if she did, she would immediately resign. Because her oath of office is absolute, and oath is absolute. It means you are swearing and affirming to whatever transcendent power you believe in that what you are about to undertake is absolutely true.
You'll get no argument on me on that one there, Sarge. You absolutely are correct. You know what I'm saying? If you can't fulfill the oath of your office, man, this is why they have what they call impeachment.
You should quit.
This is why.
You should quit.
Yeah, this is why they have resignation. This is why they have recall. Elections is because the Constitution says that all power is inherent into the people. Okay, now, you got a lot of politicians over the years, over the centuries that violated it, and we're not going to mention your boy Trump, Sarge. You know, we're going to go on and let the chips fall.
Yeah, he did one or two things I didn't like, I got to admit, he did.
Okay. But however, Sarge, that I'm going to take $50 and I'm going to go over here to a sports book and see if they got a wager thing up there like they used to do the fights. Will the dump get convicted or not? And I'm going to put my money
okay,
on
now,
that.
Okay, now, you know me. Like I said, I go by facts and evidence, and everything I'm looking at to say this whole thing is the most serious of indictments I've ever seen directed at any individual ever. Why do I say that? Because I've read every one of the indictments. I've looked at the law. I've looked at the evidence they put up, and they're bullshit. Flat out bullshit.
Okay. Excuse me.
That's why I say it. They gotta prove what's in those indictments. You remember that? They gotta prove what's in the indictments.
Okay, Sarge. You'll get no argument from me on that.
It don't mean you gotta like Trump. All it means is you gotta understand what the law is, what beyond a reasonable doubt means, and what the prosecution is required to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. And I have no doubt that if this guy gets a jury in Fulton County, that Donald Trump will be convicted. He will be.
Okay.
Because I see what that grand jury, remember I told you at the beginning of the show, what that unhinged grand jury did, despite the fact that when we showed him in the plain English, that she should be able to comprehend that what she understood to be there was not there.
Okay. All right, Sarge.
Can I make a point?
Yes, sir. Yeah, go ahead, Chef.
Okay, so I'm listening to you, Sarge, and this, all this stuff you're saying, you want to protect Donald Trump so much. We have history, Sarge.
No, I want to put the rule
of law. Hold on. I remember a time when you kept saying, back when Barack Obama was president, that he'd go in jail, that his birth certificate is fake. You just made all them comments and nothing happened. You even talked about going to Hawaii looking for his birth certificate. Sorry. Remember all that?
I do.
So to go ahead and just say all of those charges are bullshit, man. You could have really shot with me, man, because you listened to all the stuff. Remember all the nasty stuff you were saying. I stand by every word of it.
The only thing that I do not stand by, the only thing that I now reconsider, everything you said was correct, save one thing, Chef Rob, and that is this. At the time I said that statement that Obama would be indicted on something and most likely go to jail, I had belief in the system that once the evidence showed a sufficient requirement. Wait a minute, let me finish now. Evidence showed a sufficient amount of evidence to warrant an indictment or a special counsel, the authorities with the requisite responsibility to do something about it would do something. I no longer believe that. I believe the corruption in this deep state government is so extensive and so far gone that is no longer true. I believe the only way these things will happen is when they have no other choice.
Okay, now,
you just are not living in a realistic world, sir.
Wow.
Okay, but what you did,
I believe that is no longer true, Chef Rob. I don't believe that anymore.
Okay, now you do know, Sarge, that you just endorsed Huey P. Newton's 10-point program, right? Okay, because doesn't the Constitution say, whoa, hold on, Sarge, doesn't it say in the Constitution that when the government goes whack, the people have a right to change it, and not only do they have a right to change it, they are duty-bound to change it.
That's in the Declaration, sir, not the Constitution.
Okay, all right, but this 24-year-old man, along with his 31-year-old partner in 1966, went to go to prove to do just that and to enlighten the people about it. What happened to them, Sarge?
Well, okay.
They went to jail, Sarge. They went to jail on trumped-up charges,
Like people
Sarge.
On January 6th.
Okay, Sarge. Okay, Sarge, check this out.
Okay.
I'm willing to bet you dollars to donuts.
Look, in principle, I agree. In principle, but all things are not equivalent. But, yes, there's a rough equivalence between the people on January 6th and the people in the Black Panther Party who were prosecuted by the government. There is a comparable similarity. It's only comparable, though.
Sorry.
No, it's not.
Who got
okay,
the most
Sarge.
And identical.
No, it's not, Sarge. Because that old senile bastard who was, before he was your 40th president, by the name of Ronald Wilson Reagan, and made Grecian formula and crazy glue rot his stinking ass up there in Ventura County where they buried his sorry ass. Okay. Now, he got up there, Sarge. Ronald Reagan got up there in 1967, okay, when they passed that Mulfer Act and says there's no reason, ladies and gentlemen, that people should be going out there with a loaded gun. But yet, though, man, you're going to arm the Los Angeles Police Department with SWAT. Yet you're going to have the Oakland Police Department do what they did. Yet you're going to have the San Francisco Police Department do what they did when they killed Mario Woods. This is why I'm upset with Cop Mahler. She was the DA when that went down. Then the LAPD goes up there, murders a deaf man, handcuff him, lay him on the ground, shoot him in the back by the name of Ezell Ford. Okay, where they being held accountable at, Sarge? Now, where was the human shit when he should have issued an executive order to have them bastards arrested, just like his predecessor, George H.W. Bush did, that when a rebellion went down in 1992, hey, not only did the governor of California send in the National Guard, I'm sending in the regular army. Whoa. Then what did old Bush Sr. do? He says, hey, now, after I send in the regular army into Los Angeles, what he did, and Los Angeles did go up in 1992, okay, he says, put them dudes in the federal joint and charged them with civil rights violations. Now, Powell fell. Sergeant Coon fell. Okay, let me see. And Timothy Wynn fell. The only one who did not get convicted was Theodore Bracino. Now, the cold part about this here, Sarge, now these here are some of your colleagues now. Sergeant Coon gets up there in the state trial that he did not have no recollection of no incident of Rodney King being hit with a baton 52 times. He had no recollection of an incident where Rodney King was hit with tasers multiple times and the prongs were pulled out and reloaded and shot into him again by the same Sergeant Coon. He did not have no recollection of this incident. And to me, if that fool did not have any type of regulation, you know, of cold, hard facts like that in an incident as serious as that, plus the rebellion that happened shortly after his acquittal, then that man should be deemed mentally incompetent and never should have been a member of the LAPD. And then not to mention the sick, psychopathic bastard that you had who was the chief of the Los Angeles Police Department by the name of Daryl Gates. Read his book called Chief Sarge. I did, okay, and you will see of how emotionally disturbed that individual was. Okay, go ahead, Sarge. I just had to get that
okay,
out.
Okay, now, as far as, boy, you throw so many subjects in. I want to comment on what you're saying. Okay, let's go back to Ronald Reagan, okay? Good Lord. First of all, the governor of the state of California has no direct hand in how the city of Los Angeles decides to equip or train its SWAT team. The only time he or the attorney general of the state of California will have any say-so on what they do there is if and when they violate California law and it comes to their attention. So they don't have anything to put out there organized, equipped, and trained. And that's up to the city. Okay, they don't have day-to-day operations over the way the LAPD runs. And secondly of all, you know, I mean, look, I mean, you're trying to hold Ronald Reagan responsible for things. He's just not directly responsible. We got a system of federalism in this country. He's responsible for the things the governor of California is responsible for. Now, I will appreciate you holding him responsible for those things. Not for every little – he's not a dictator of the state of California. He's the governor. Okay? So, you know, hold LAPD responsible for what they're responsible for and Ronald Reagan for what he was responsible for. Now, next.
Okay.
When it comes to Stacey Coon, Stacey Coon, I saw the testimony he gave. I remember him saying under oath that's what he said. Don't put it on me. He said that what his officers did with Rodney King Day was a textbook application of a use of force against a resisting suspect. Now, that's what he said under oath. Not that he had no recollections of it. He recollected very well. He said what he did was in complete accordance with LAPD policy. And by the way, I got a copy of LAPD policy at that time because I was a use of force instructor, and I wanted to extrapolate lessons from it when I taught it to my students. And it was in accordance with LAPD policy.
Okay, Sarge. Now, glad you brought that point up. Moving to the George Floyd case, when they brought in the use of force experts from the Los Angeles Police Department. And then, sir.
We realize we're down to our last 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. All right, let me get my – this is going to be my closing comment here, Brother Check. Okay. In the George Floyd case, okay, we're in closing comments, folks. Okay. All right, I'm starting the closing comments myself. Okay, is that the LAPD use of force experts went to Minneapolis, okay, and they had stated that what Derek Chauvin did was even beyond their warped imaginations and their lust for brutalization of black people. They said even a lapdog said that was too much. And anytime that you get a murdering racist institution by the LAPD that goes ahead and says that something was wrong with that, Chauvin should be facing a death penalty. But, however, the state of Minnesota does not have a death penalty, so what they need to do with Chauvin is pull his ass up out of Minnesota, take him into federal court, and hit him with the death penalty, just like they did Timothy McVeigh with the Oklahoma bombing crisis. And I believe that there was the late 90s, if I'm correct on that, Sarge.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I looked at all of, everything you said. Once again, when it happened, I went to the website for the Minneapolis Police Department, and I looked at their use of force policy to include their restraint, their knee restraint policy. I looked at it. I read it. I saved it. I got it on my computer. From all of the video that were able to be captured, from all of it, that showed all of the angles where he had placed his knee, where he had placed it was in accordance with Minneapolis police policy. It was. He had been certified in the use of the policy. He had a training certificate that certified him as understanding proper application of the restraint technique. And the videos I saw that were introduced at trial, every time they showed a picture from that angle, from behind, from the other body cam videos, where you could see where he had his knee, it was on his shoulder blade. I am absolutely convinced that, yes, the restraint was a proximate cause of Floyd's death, but it was a contributory factor to his horrid cardio-arterial circulation system, which, according to the autopsy, was about ready to burst any damn day, contributed to by the aggravated delirium he was in, brought on by the stress of the arrest and the adrenaline surge in his body, and the difficulty he had in breathing. He could breathe, but all these other factors were aggravating his ability to get oxygen to his compromised cardiocirculatory system. All of those things contributed to his death, and it was not just the knee that he put on his back. It wasn't on his neck.
And then also, too, Sarge, if you look at the video.
And the best is manslaughter, if you want to put a charge, because it isn't a first-degree murder.
Sarge, first-degree murder, Sarge, as you know, is with intent, willful intent in the first degree.
Did he have an intention to kill him?
Okay, hold on, Sarge. Okay, but when Chauvin was putting his neck on that man's, when he put his knee on that man's neck, and that man was saying, Mr. Officer, I cannot breathe. He kept saying he cannot breathe. Then when you look at the video closely, because me and Brother Che, we looked at it about 100 times, Brother Che, that we had looked at that video.
It was definitely more than once.
Yeah. Okay. And then you would see, okay, Sarge, the man is saying I cannot breathe. The man is struggling, gasping for air. The man pisses on himself, Sarge. You saw urine running from his body. I thought it was the radiator fluid from the car that he was up on it. But the man was urinating on himself, Sarge. And then on top of it, they already, they had him handcuffed. I mean, even if they went out there and whooped his ass, man, but to choke that man like that, Sarge, come on, okay, man.
Look, first of all, if you haven't, you cannot make words without an air exchange. It is impossible. So he had to be breathing to speak. You cannot speak without an air. He was having difficulty breathing because that's what happens when you're having when your circulatory system is compromised. You do not process oxygen no matter where it's coming from. There's no doubt. There's no doubt that the arrest aggravated all of these things. He was resisting arrest. His adrenaline was flowing. Did you read the autopsy report on everything they found wrong with his heart and his arterial sclerosis in his main arteries? He was clogged.
Okay,
it was horribly compromised.
Okay, Sarge, we'll save that. We'll save that.
I read the autopsy report.
Show. Okay,
wait,
Sarge.
I read the. I can get it for you.
Okay, Sarge. Okay, Sarge. We in our closing comments, get the autopsy report, Sarge, and tell you once again, Sarge, on this Friday coming up, it'll be 11 a.m. your time. Okay, Brother Che got to call and wake me up, and I got to have my 12 cups of coffee to wake up here in this time zone at 8 a.m. We will talk about that on the next Grand Rising with Shabaka.
Oh, man, this guy was in horrible shape, man. You got to read the autopsy report.
Okay,
I mean, his circulatory system was really messed up from all the drug use.
Okay. Okay,
so,
okay, Sarge.
It wasn't drug use. It was a cop.
There's no doubt that the arrest contributed to it, but it didn't cause it.
Okay, Sarge, anytime that you're choking somebody and that they're pissing on themselves, Sarge, okay, now they're on the first floor.
Come on.
He was dying. That is not uncommon when you're dying.
Okay, Sarge, that's precisely the point that I'm making.
Okay. He died from drug use. Well, we know goddamn well.
That's not what I said. That's not what I said. That's not what I said. I was very specific in what I said. His compromised cardiovascular system was severely compromised by the stress of the arrest.
Okay.
Read the autopsy.
I think it would be compromised too, Sarge, if he had a 250-pound. Right.
Oh, he didn't weigh that much. Sharman weighed 165 pounds. See, I looked at everything about that.
Sarge,
he weighed 165 pounds.
Sarge, Sarge. Sharman is 6'2" and he's tipping the scale at 215. Okay, it's because, you know, you check out his arrest report, his public record, Sarge. That dude, No. That dude is over 6 foot. That dude, man, you know, him and George Floyd had a run-in in the past before because Chauvin used to work as an off-duty security guard for a nightclub, and Floyd was a bouncer, and both of them had interest in the same woman. Now, consider that. Now we got a jealousy issue here.
I'm looking at the record from the autopsy where I'm looking at right here. They say he weighed 140.
Who weighed 140?
Now, and again, the record was not on. He was not on his neck. Every video of the incident shows the knee placement on his back, on his shoulder blade. Look, the man was having trouble breathing. There's no doubt about that either. He was having trouble breathing. But again, if he had been in normal physical condition, he would not have died from that arrest, nor from that use of that restraint.
Okay, Sarge. Okay,
that was a political prosecution. And they were determined to lock him up because of all the rights.
Sarge, while he was on top of that man for that 8-9 minutes, he
was
calling
out for
his mom. Okay.
He was
now
enjoyment and pleasure out of this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now that's where you got a point. Now you got a point on should he have kept his knee on that long? Because after all, there's a possibility you got a suspect with a severely compromised cardiovascular system, and you might kill him. Well, the Supreme Court made a decision about tell you this. I know you don't like it, but if they did it. It's called Graham versus Connor. And the police are not obligated to know every medical fact about an individual they are arresting. I know you don't like it, but that's what the Supreme Court said.
Are not obligated to protect you nor serve you. Also, Supreme Court.
Right. Well, there's truth to that, too. That's why you don't want to get the cops involved in anything. You don't have to. I agree
right.
with that.
And then now, Sarge, now, do you know what it says on the side of the LAPD's car, man, on every last one of them, on their black and white? You know what it says,
that's
Sarge?
That's propaganda. Don't believe propaganda.
Okay, to protect and serve. I don't believe it at all. Okay, but that's what they have over there, to protect and serve.
That's not a legal requirement. That's a motto.
Okay. Okay, hold on.
Wait a minute,
okay,
Sarge,
you're
you
right.
don't believe in. Sorry, so you don't okay. believe in the policemen or your friends.
Okay, let me answer the question.
Sir.
I'm gonna answer the question exactly, because you know me. I'm not a weasel. I answer your questions directly. Here's what I believe. I believe that most cops are conscientious and would like you to think and would like to try to believe they can protect you at all times from all crime. But I know that ain't true. Cops are armed historians. They usually get there after something didn't happen, no matter how conscientious they are. And a lot of cops ain't conscientious, okay? So as a matter of fact, the police cannot protect you all the time, everywhere. It just ain't true, no matter what the police say or I say.
Okay, now, Sarge.
It ain't going to happen.
Now,
it never happened.
Okay, Sarge, on that part,
there's too many people and too many
me.
Criminals
the
with
reason...
opportunity.
Okay,
you have to
Sarge,
be able to defend
you
yourself.
Okay. I understand,
that's why
Sarge,
I believe in the right. That's why I believe in the right to keep and bear arms, because the cops can't
okay,
be
even
everywhere.
Even if it's a napkin holder. Even if it's a napkin holder, I don't blame you, Sarge. Now
that's exactly
okay.
right.
Now,
and by the way,
okay.
when I whipped that guy, when I hit that guy upside the head, I was strapped. He looked at it and put Mr. 9mm in his head.
Oh. Man.
Okay, Sarge. Okay, Sarge. Now, keep in mind that's Chicago, Illinois. To quote the words of Mayor Richard Daley that he said to Martin Luther King in 1967, when you go into Marquette Park, you're doing it at your own risk there, Dr. King, because we can't help you. And keep in mind that Chicago has certain traditions there, Sarge. It was the home of Al Capone for many, many years.
Yeah, the Democrats, too. It was a Democrat mayor and a Democrat Marquette Park that did what they did to Martin Luther King. You got to keep. I'm gonna keep reminding y'all of the policies and the jurisdictions and the regime of Democrats every chance I get. They were Democrats.
Yes, sir.
Richard J. Daley was the mayor. It was Democrat enclave. It was Democrats.
Right.
It was Democrats. It was Democrats. They run all
Sarge.
These big cities that are turning into dystopian hellholes.
Sarge,
okay,
can I make a point?
Yes, sir. Go ahead,
No, the other brother was trying to speak. I want to speak after him.
No, that's Chef, not Sarge.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chef. Go ahead.
That's hard to believe it, Sarge. You're going to keep on with the Democrat. Yeah, open your eyes here. The top 20 cities that have high crime, states. The majority of them are red states. You know, you keep going to the Democrat.
Illinois.
I live in Chicago too, man. So please knock it off.
Illinois.
Oh, okay.
There ain't a statewide Republican elected official in Illinois right now.
Okay.
Not
now tell me this,
what does that really have to do with crime? And you mentioned about going ahead.
Okay.
You talked about the George Floyd case, man. That's ridiculous, man. He should have been putting his knee on his neck anyway. But I want to bring up those five officers in Memphis have federal charges on them. Those five officers from Memphis,
right?
And that's a good thing. Hold on, Sarge. I'm not, you know I don't hold the mic, Laura. I'm not like you. Whenever you go ahead and you want to talk about crime, especially when it's dealing with black folks always at fault with you, man. I remember the Trayvon Martin, the Brown thing, almost every time. You need to pull your hand out your backside, man, and deal with reality here. And then you're going to come
as long as it's true.
You're supposed to, hold on, man, let me finish. So supposedly you all live in America. So why aren't the Republicans trying to work with the evil Democrats to go ahead and fix the problem. No, just complain and use it as get on your political horse and go ahead and use it so you go ahead and get elected, man. It makes no sense.
I would like to remind
don't nobody
you
hang
of what Lori Lightfoot
25 seconds.
Okay. I would like to remind you of what Lori Lightfoot did when Donald Trump offered her a federal task force to help her in Chicago, and she flat out rejected it. He was a Republican. He was offering it to a Democrat mayor, and she didn't want his help because he was an evil Hitler.